The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Father, we thank you once again because you will help us this morning, and grace is in the house. And I lean on that grace in the house to just say a few words and then we leave this place today in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 6:14. So it's a definite statement. This statement is a result of what Paul had been discussing from verse 1. He now made this definitive statement that for sin shall not have what? Dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under what? So this is an announcement of a new season. Is that okay? Is what? An announcement of a new season. Because of the state they had come into, that we are no longer under the law, but we are now under grace. And as a result of that, sin shall not have dominion over us. We have heard in convention, the greatest problem of man is sin. You agree with me? Sin has been the problem. But you see, God has brought us into a level, into a state where He has demystified sin. It's just left for us to cooperate with Him. And if you can cooperate with Him, then we can also say that we are not under the law. So by law now, I'm not really just talking about the law of Moses and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that we are in a new economy. We have come into a new understanding. We have come into a new sphere of what God's purpose is in the gospel. And because of that understanding, we can't live anyhow. We can't do some things. We can't think in some ways. Hallelujah. So that was what Paul said to them. You know, I saw that God dealt a big blow, a fatal blow to this one save forever save thing. God dealt, it's like you a big hammer that God, you know, launched at the backbone of that thing. It didn't cut it into two, but it cut it in such a way that it can never stand again. And I know that that thought, that message, whatever, it will begin to die. It will begin to wither on our campuses amidst the young people, all those who have believed, it will begin to die. You know what? In fact, we came to see that the gospel is so salvation. Otherwise, what is the gospel doing? The gospel is soul salvation. God wants to possess what He paid for, which originally was His. But somebody came in and stole it along the line. And the person stole it legally and legitimately because man did the transaction legally. So God cannot just go and just cut it off, you know, and say, give map. No, there must be order. God also has to legitimately take back what initially belonged to Him. Hallelujah. So, what God did in that down payment is that He's giving a seal to say, this soul belongs to me, and I will claim it. I will recover it. I will take it back to myself completely. And that was why Paul said, I pray God that your whole spirit, whole soul and whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we used to think that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is when Jesus Christ will appear in the sky. No. Once you read Acts 3, 19, 20, 21 very well, you will understand the coming of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord will keep coming to us, but each time He comes, He will not come the way He came the last time. Hallelujah. It was that He who read that scripture for us in First Thessalonians, the Jesus, okay, this is it. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. Jesus had been preached to us, but God will send him again. So, but as God is sending him, the reason he's coming is to come and carry out the work of wholeness in our lives. So that a time will come, when he will come, our spirit will be whole. Our soul will be whole. Our body will be whole. And it will not stop coming. It will still keep coming. Because we cannot know all that we need to know of him, even on this side. Hallelujah. So when I saw that theme, the great physician of the heavens, yes. The great physician of, so that means he's the great physician. While he was on earth, he was the great physician. But he was not the great physician of the heavens. So what came to mind immediately was that Hebrews 8. We have a high priest, a minister of the sanctuary. You know that he made a very bold statement sometime back that everything about salvation was not completed on the cross. You know, we used to think that, that is, we that him. You are the one that said it to us. Ise igba la pari no. The work of salvation has not ended. It cannot end. Do you know the reason why? It is not what God is doing. It is who God is. You can't end who you are. You will keep being you. You can end a habit. You can end an action. But the you that you are, you can't end it. So the work of salvation is not what God will do to a point and we now stop it and we now finish it. Even when we sit upon the throne, are we not going to know more? We will keep knowing more. We can't. This space given to us is given to us to make us come into a state where we will be qualified to sit with him on the throne to now begin to learn. So in all eternity, what are we going to be doing in the world to come? What do you think we'll be doing? You think it's going to be a boring world? It's going to be a waste. If human beings can structure world, if they can structure cities by cadre, and people live based on their level of wealth or social status, they live at certain levels, so also people will occupy different realms in heaven. At least we know basically two things. New heaven, new earth. Holy Jerusalem, new Jerusalem. One is prepared as a bride. One is the bride. So if you look like the bride on the wedding day of your friend, it's also a glorious moment. You enjoy it, but you are not the bride. So some believers will be the bride, while some will not be part of the bridal company, but they will be also prepared as a bride, but they are not a bride. You know, a man was talking with his wife at home one day and said to the wife, they were talking about the fact that they don't have a child. And the wife said, but we have this boy living with us. He's like our son. And the man said, exactly. That's the problem. He is like our son. He is not our son. That like is the issue. So some people will be like the bride, while some people will be the bride. So some people will be in the new heavens, while some will be in the new earth. Even in the new earth, some will be the kings of the earth, while some will just be ordinary citizens of the earth. But to attend to that place is still glorious. But it's not as glorious as being where he is, that where I am, there you may be also. So if you are sitting with Jesus on the throne, do you think he will just keep quiet? No, they will be teaching you more. Who said it in the convention that the man, Pastor Chuku was talking about the earthly man before the fall, that kind of a man is gone forever. And that the king was talking about the language. What language was Adam speaking before the fall? That language is gone. It's a language that, you know, it's one language. It was in Genesis, they divided all language. So no language is superior to any language. So we now have many languages. Some might just make it a bit, they might explain more. They might make it clearer a bit and all of that. Just like we have various translations of the Bible and all of that. But that language, the earth was of one language. That one language is lost. So there were many things that God was set out to begin to do with Adam that was cut short. As a matter of fact, the agenda of man being made was cut short. Just about the time that Adam would start entering into those things, it was cut short. So we never knew what we lost. So it will take the recovery of the spirit, soul, and body that at the coming of Jesus, that when Jesus will now come, we'll now say, oh, this is actually what we wanted to be doing that time before sin came. And then now they have done a better work, that it's not just what should have been at that time. It's something that is foolproof. It can never fail again. Now, what God did in Adam by making him a living soul presupposes he could die and eventually died. If God had made him a quickening spirit, Satan would not be able to deceive him. So, but what God is doing right now is that he said that made us him low, little lower than the other, crowned him with glory and honor. Psalm 8. Only those two things. He was crowned with glory and honor. But when you read Romans 2:7, it talks about being crowned with glory, honor, and immortality, then eternal life. So what cut short man at the beginning will not be able to cut him short again. Because he will no longer be crowned with glory and honor. He will also be crowned with immortality, even unto eternal life. So what God is doing in the gospel is salvation. And God is salvation. And Pastor Demeji said, God, when you say you are saved, you must be as saved as God. How saved is God? So, just think about it. How saved is God? God cannot be pulled. God cannot be tempted. But many things tempt us. Many things pull us. It is with the understanding of the gospel that we are trying to use to deal with many pulls. For some of us, when things pull us, we still can't cast and bind. I bind you. But some, it's just understanding. Understanding that, okay, oh, this is this. You know that I used to say it. You know, I used to say in my heart, sometimes, maybe if you travel with that, you have to put a knife to your throat. Because they say, come and accompany me to Oklahoma. And you are landing in the Oklahoma airport. And you saw something, you are not saying, daddy, see this thing. Just remember that. You remember the person you are walking. You will just keep it in your heart. You will just be going. Why? He has journeyed, just like Jesus, spanned the whole world. He has spanned everything to see what is really this thing. So he has seen the end of it. So it cannot pull him. So while he travels, they will have to tell him, Reverend, let's go out. If you leave daddy, he will be in the house. He will stay in the house. He came to preach. But many of us, this one that I came, forget it. Hey, please, I've been hearing about this. Where is it? It's because things can still pull you. But God wants to take us to a place where we will be as saved as God. Let's see Genesis 49. I used to wonder why that scripture was inserted there, because I feel it's an insertion, meaning that if you are reading from the beginning, after that verse, if you continue reading, it on the surface has no correlation with that passage. Genesis 49, when Jacob was blessing the sons of his children. So go to verse 1. We're not going to read everything. So Jacob called the sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. So what is the essence of that chapter? He wants to tell them what will happen to them in the last days. And he began, number 1, who is the first person? Verse 3, Reuben, thou art my firstborn. Go to the next verse. He said what he wanted to say. Go to the next person. Just look for the next person. Simon and Levi. He combined the two of them together. He made utterance on them. Go to the next person. Judah, this is your own. Go on. Is it Naphtali now? Zebulun, this is your own portion. He was telling them. Now go to verse 17. Dan shall be a serpent by the way and all of that. What should now happen next? He should call the name of the next person and pronounce. But look at verse 18. Let's read together. What did he say? This is the first time the word salvation will be mentioned in the Bible. And when you look at the principle of first mention, that when you mention it, it carries that trait all through the Bible. Now, go to verse 19. The next verse. God, a true child. Now, show me verse 17. And jump verse 18 and show me verse 19. Let's go to verse 17. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, blah, 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 so that his rider shall fall backward. Verse 19, God a true. Why is that statement? What is he looking for there? So that's why I say it's like an insertion. What? Now, Jacob did not explain. It's as if you have been saying something, just say, oh, Then you say something, and then you continue what you are doing. What is the reason for that? So let's go back to that verse 18. I have waited for what? So what is clear in that? Salvation must be waited for. You don't get it at once. This is one of the scriptures to knock the Osas people. I have waited for what? Thy salvation. Oh Lord, capital Lord, Jehovah, I have waited for thy salvation. So it shows me that when you talk about salvation, you cannot remove waiting. And when you talk about waiting, something comes to play. Hallelujah. Let's see that which comes to play. First Thessalonians 1, 3, thereabouts. Look at it. Can we read it together? Remembering without ceasing, what? What do we remember? Work of faith, number two, and labor of love, number three, and patience of hope. So let's bring out those three. The first thing is what? Work of faith. The next one, labor of love. The last one, patience of hope. First Corinthians 13:13. And now about these three things, faith, hope, and love. Authority. But the greatest is, so what do we find there in that Thessalonians? We see the three again. We see faith, we see love, and we see hope. Can you see that now? Now, there is something that goes with each of them. Each time you talk about faith, there must be work. Jesus told them in John 8, if you are Abraham's seed, you will have done the works of Abraham. What was the work of Abraham? Abraham believed. You know, Pastor Alfred made a distinction for us between believing and faith. You engage one with the other. You engage faith with your believing. So when you talk about the work of faith, the work of faith or the works of Abraham was that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto righteousness for him. So works accomplish faith. So when you say you have faith, what do? You must show us the works of your faith, which Apostle James was laboring on his book. Show me your faith without your works. What will I show you? My faith by my works. So what will you see first? My work. His work is before him, and then his reward is with him. Work precedes the reward, right? So when you say work, when you say faith, the next thing you talk about is the work of faith. It's not work of the works of the law. I believe you understand. Meaning the outflow of faith. The evidence that you have faith. What is the evidence that you have subscribed to Christ when you still keep malice? It's incongruent. It doesn't go. So if you say you have faith, what will I see to let me know that you have the faith of God or you have the faith of Christ or the faith of the Son? We will see the life. The works will show. So we see patience, temperance, all those charity work, right? Now when you talk about love, you talk about labor. When you talk about love, you don't say work of love. No, it's labor because love labors. Hebrews, for God is not unrighteous to forget the labor of your love. Anytime you talk love, it must be, if you say you love, you are not showing labor, forget love. Love is not hugging people. Love is going the extra mile. Love is doing what is not convenient. That is why it is labor. Meaning it costs you something. You expend energy. Imagine, maybe while I was coming, maybe I got to somewhere around Ikeja, on that bridge, or Ikeja along. And then maybe I was driving and I said, oh, sorry, I had a flat tire. And Pastor called you. Can you drive, go and pick Pastor James? And Pastor Alfred is saying something interesting, preaching. And he said, go and pick him, ma'am, come. And you now get to that red light. The thing is red. And you are, you know what you are doing? You are going against yourself. That is labor. So if you tell somebody that you have charity, you don't need to say, I have charity. Charity is not hugging people. Charity is laying your life for your brethren. Charity is preferring yourself. Eh? Preferring the other more than yourself. That's charity. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Is that okay? But you must not say, I don't have it. You must labor to have it. Hallelujah. God is love. And then we are to enter into his rest. He said, labor not for the meat that perishes, but labor for the meat that endures unto eternal life. And the last one there is what? Patience of hope. So how do I know you have hope? You are patient. Or you wait. Job 14:14. Somebody read it in the convention. He said, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my changes come. I will wait till my salvation. Just connect it to what Jacob said. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And this man said, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time. Will I what? Will I wait? Till what? So you see that there is time there. There is time there. And I realized something. That when we talk about work of faith, God is the person who first demonstrated that work. Because he believed in us. He believed that what he's going to do in us will come to fruition. God labors. He labors on us. And God waits for us. Nobody is more patient than God. Isaiah 30:18. Look at that. And therefore, will the Lord do what? That may be what? So you see, you're coming to church every Sunday. Is God waiting for you? You're hearing message. The labor of pastor saying it over and over is translating to God waiting for you. Because if God will not have to wait for you, then you have become Christ fully. You have entered into the Father. You have been sealed. You have been guaranteed. But as long, Mommy Ellie said something. So I wrote it down. And Pastor Tayo said the same thing. Maybe, I don't know whether you saw it. Mommy Ellie said, you do wrong. You are doing wrong. And you will still do wrong. And now remember the scripture you read for us in Exodus. We are God who delivered us. 2 Corinthians 1:10. From such a great death. In whom we trust. No. Who delivers us. And in whom we trust will yet deliver us. Meaning that you have not fully been delivered. And that's the reason for church. That's why we are here. So that we can receive salvation. So that we can be healed. You know, Jeremiah said, heal me, O Lord, I shall be healed. Save me, I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. You saw how that the kid explained the issue of praise yesterday. The end of salvation is praise. Said, thy walls shall be called salvation and thy gates praise. Meaning you have not been given access. You will go in and go out. Then you will now go in and go out no more. Because you will become a pillar. In the temple, you have access. You can enter into the realm of God himself. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying that the matter of salvation is something that we must pour our life into. Don't see it as I want to be saved. So now that I'm saved, let me do other things. There is no other thing. Salvation is everything. Now let's see Isaiah chapter 12. Are you there with me? Can we read it together? And in that day? Now, Satan daddy began to teach us from the book of Isaiah 25, 26. And in that day. You see, in that day. It means it has not come. That day has not come. In that day, what are you going to say? Thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou word comfortest me. Now, behold, God is who? Now, read your own Bible. Tell me the word that is in italics, in that God is my salvation. Check your Bible. Have you seen it? There's a word that is in italics. Have you seen the word? Is. Can you see that? So let's remove the is and read. Behold, God. That's his name. God, my salvation. Or God, salvation. Let's hold this, please. You know Psalm 27, let's quote it. The Lord is my light. So the Lord is light. The Lord is salvation. And then something goes to salvation again, strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. So look at it. The Lord is my light. He didn't say the Lord is his light. For with this, the fountain of life, in thy light. That one is exclusive to God. Abi, in thy light shall we see light. So when you say my light, God is my light, it means that God is light. He now shone a measure of that light to me. The one shown to me now became my light. It's not the whole light. It's the one you have been able to appropriate, right? So when it says God is my light, God is my salvation, it means that God is salvation. So to the extent you have been saved is to the extent you can say my salvation. So when you say, so when Pastor T said God is my salvation, it's different from when another person says God is my salvation. Because some works have gone under it. So he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So look at what Isaiah said. Behold, God, my salvation. What will happen? It's just like when Paul said the gospel of God in Romans 1:1, right? In Romans 1:16, call it the gospel of Christ. In Romans 2:16, call it my gospel. Who is the name of the gospel? Is it Paul? But Paul got to a point where he owned it. He got it. It became his. Why? He embodied it. He has used it. So when you say God is salvation, and you don't say God is my salvation, it means you have also embodied salvation. You have used it. That's when it can become yours. And not be afraid. I will trust. What is trust? No, trust is not faith. Do you get it? Trust is faith plus time. Write it down. Trust equals to faith plus time. Faith is now. You don't need tomorrow. Now, 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 now. It happens now. But when you say trust, there must be time. Do you just trust people? Eh? You do in your place of work, do you just trust people? Eh? When I saw Pastor Alfred, I didn't trust him. I didn't distrust him either. Because I didn't. Why? I don't know him. No, I didn't know him. I will see him in the same class. I will sit in the class. He will sit in the class. In fact, what even made me pay attention to him was the day I saw him at CLIM. I said, this guy is in my class now. You know, we just came to 100 level. I saw this guy. He was wearing this shirt today now. This guy was in my class now. I didn't even go to meet him. He didn't come to meet me. Yet, we were in the same class. Now, if you see us outside, you say, 100 level students, English students, look at them. They are. Yet, we don't trust ourselves. Because I didn't know him. But over time. Aha. Ah. This one is different too. Move closer, small. Until one day, the ice was broken. We now saw. Hey, this is divine. At that point, I can commit anything of me to him. Why? There was a discovery of a knowledge, what we call predetermined counsel of God, that God has spoken to him all the way in Edo State, that you will meet somebody. You will meet somebody. And when he came, it was looking, who is that person? Who is the person? Who is until one day? This is the person. And he didn't even say, he walked up to me straight. And I know things like that. And I don't take them for granted. So there was time. So you don't trust when there is no time. Psalm 9, verse 10. Let's see something there. Psalm 9, verse 10. What did he say? And they that do what? What would they do? So if somebody tells you, I trust God, it's a lie. Do you know his name? You don't. You trust only the people you know. Now, go back to that Isaiah 12:2. Say, for in the Lord, okay, God is my, I will trust and not be what? And not be afraid. David said this, other part of this psalm in Psalm 56, he said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. It's not easy to trust in the Lord when you are afraid. When your rent is going to be due in 6 months, your level of faith and believing is going to be stronger than when it is 2 days' time and you have not got a kobo. You must have known the Lord. You must have known the Lord to believe that it will happen. Look at the testimony that man of God that came briefly, men of Issachar, that they are Jetu Mobi, the one he gave us 2 years ago, conversion. Himself and his wife locked themselves out and the key was inside. If it was you, you'd be looking for carpenter. But you know what he did? He held his wife, went to the door and put his hand on the knob and opened. The door did not open, but they found themselves in the room. What are you talking about? They found themselves in the room. Maybe you check him out on Facebook. I've seen him preaching some short snippets where he has said some terrible things. No, this man knows God. He gave a testimony of a place he went to where they put shrines. And any pastor that comes there, once they take them to that place, in the name of God, my help us pray on this shrine, the pastors die. And they took him there. And once the people there, they just knew, this one is gone. And he got there. There was something those pastors who tried to do, they can't do it. When he got there, he spoke maybe to one idol, that one fell. He spoke to the next one. By the time he got to the second to the last, the king himself said, no, you are a man of God. The king now told the story. He said, hey, I didn't know anything. Those are, they trust God. They know God. See Elisha. If vice president comes to your house, say vice president is looking for you, I'm not sure you have the audacity to say, go and tell him I'm praying. He should wait for me. Can you say that? If you are not doing it out of fear, you will do it out of honor. Vice president, you were wrong. Elisha said, go and tell him. King, tell him to come. Send him to my compound. Send him to my house. And we know there's a prophet in Israel. And when they came, the Bible said, he came with chariots. You are coming for healing. See the entourage that you brought. And Elisha did not go out to him. Elisha said, tell him he should go and bathe in Jordan 7 times. And you know, if Naaman had turned and had gone to bathe, Elisha will never know Naaman. He will never have any reason to know him. What am I saying? Trust. You see, you don't trust God because you have a need. You trust God to know him. The word know is worship. He said, you worship what you don't know. We worship what we know because salvation is of the Jew. So worship is knowledge. There must be that knowledge of salvation. Knowledge of what God is doing. You must have it. If you don't have it, things will move you. As you are right now, your life must have been determined. You must have come into a state of resolution by the reason of the gospel. You know what you can do. You know what you cannot do. You know what can never tempt you. You are not just living. Why? You have been exposed to a knowledge of a being that this is what he's after. He wants to save me. And you are positioning yourself by every situation for that salvation. Sometimes you may falter. Sometimes somebody talks to you harshly. You didn't reply, but you will go angrily. And then as you are turning, you just remember, but I shouldn't even be angry. I should not be angry. I shouldn't be angry. I cannot be angry. God help me. You know, it's a great work that God has wrought in you. What somebody will use slap to reply that person? You are even reasoning to say, I shouldn't even be angry. Oh God, I'm sorry. I should not be angry. Until somebody will do the same to you, you not even feel it. You know, we have been saved more. Now, it's knowledge. By my knowledge, Isaiah 53, knowledge plays a crucial role in our salvation. And that's why we have to come every other Sunday, every other Wednesday, every other life campaign. Sometimes when you finish convention, you say, what more? We have just started. Because the matters are much. And you see, the amount of word that will make you change your mind, I can't quantify it. Sometimes it will take 5 years of speaking. And that's why God has to help pastors. For me, I've resolved. It doesn't matter who you are. Just come to church. Just come. On our confist day, some 2 guys came. One was wearing earrings. That's not even my problem. to my problem. The other one, sagging with dreads and all of that. His life is confused. It's the feast of love, brotherhood. The moment they sat down, they were making noise. As we were sitting down listening to what was being said, they were chatting, checking football. Sorry, I was not easy. I said, no, this is feast of charity, brotherhood. At a point, I couldn't bear it. So I pretended, I didn't get up to go to them straight. I just got up, went to the other decks, said something, and I was now coming. And the delivery now passed in between and said, ah, listen to what they are saying. I said, pastor is talking something. Let's hear. I was glad that I said that. Before, I would send them away. Where do you think you are? You come to church, you are making noise. Who are you? But that is, are they not the people we are looking for? So I just said, And do you know what? By the end of that, they kept saying, wow, they enjoyed themselves. They participated in all, they are not Christians. And they still refuse to say they will not come to church. But they said, wow. They waited to the end. They waited for the arrival, corn and beans. They packed it. They came again. Pastor, we enjoyed today. We enjoyed. I was happy. Something was postured to them. They saw love. The day they will come, we may not even remember, we may not even call them. They will just stroll in and sit down. We even use, okay, we participated in a game with them. We said, okay, tell people something. What do you think? Three things people will say about you when they see you first. The guy said, well, they will say that guy that is stubborn. In my mind, I said, so you know you are stubborn. I didn't even know that. He said, next, he said, well, that guy that's always wearing earring. So he himself knows. I'm not saying earring is wrong or not right, but he has a consciousness that they participated and all of that, and all of that, and all of that. I said, pastors has a lot of work to do. You will accommodate a lot of people. You will bear with a lot of nonsense. You will bear with a lot of shit. But of course, it should not be from you. Right? Like we used to say, he leaves the 99, goes after the one. And must you be the one? Can't you be the one of the 99? It should not be you that you stray. They will not be looking for you. If it is some other persons, okay, it is understandable, right? But it should not be you. What am I saying, in essence? You must begin to appropriate these words in reality into your life and say it is not. In a scripture, if you can find it, it says, it is unbecoming for kings to lie, nor princes to lie. It is not good for princes to lie. You know, when they call somebody a man of honor, you know you should not lie. One of our sisters was talking the other yesterday, 2 days ago in convention on the dining, talking about another sister in the waters that she can lie. The sister said the day she lied on her in her face that she felt like that day she. He said, I told you that I was going to commit suicide. I told you. That one was sure. You did what? He said, yes, ma'am. I told you that I wanted to commit suicide. He said, yes, I told you. It's heavy. Then one now said, so you told me you wanted to commit suicide and I was now looking at you. He said, I told you. One, two, three persons now said, shut up. They were not bringing up the lies. A female, she was. It's like a spirit. That's a problem. It should not be found with you. If it's somebody wearing dreads coming around and saying something, no, we don't care about that. But that you are here, you have gone this far, you have heard all of these words, and it's still found with you, is not. Look at it. Look at that. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. Meaning when you see a fool, do you expect excellent speech? The Bible says a fool, if he keeps quiet, he will be taught to be wise. So now you see a fool. Will you expect something excellent? Much less do lying lips. A prince is not expected to do what? To lie. It means that you, at this point, you are in eternal life embassy. Ha! Some things will not be met with you. Forget it. Don't try to rationalize it. It should not. Be named. I'm not talking of fornication. We know certain things that even when you say to other believers, they can't understand because they don't have knowledge. That's why Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak to your shame. So what am I saying this morning? Go, getting back to that Isaiah 12. Behold, God is salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is what? So you see, salvation and strength always go together. And that strength is not your strength. It's the strength of God that can become your strength, right? Now, the depth of your salvation is the depth of your strength. Huh? So each time you find yourself in a state, you shouldn't find yourself. Just tell yourself, this is how far I've been saved. And see the need for more salvation and make progress. Now look at the other part. And my song. You know, Jehovah is my strength and my song. My song is not, thou art worthy, O Lord. My song is the expression of my life. Song is an expression of a life, right? Look at what he now said. He also is do what? He also is become. Look at the first line. God is my salvation. Look at the last line. He's also become my salvation. Is it not repetitive? No, it's not. God is salvation, is exclusive. But now he has to become. As many as received him, to them gave the power to do what? To be, there is a becoming. That's what I want you to see there. There is a becoming in salvation. You have to become. And to become, you have to come. It's a journey. It's a process. Just like we used to read, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in. Is there any problem with that? No. Can anybody dispute that? But the question is it settled in you? If you say, okay, it is settled in me, then is it settled in you to the degree it is settled in God in heaven? You see, God. So you say, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You are making a good statement of affirmation, but that's nothing to do with you. Now, that same word that is settled in God in heaven has to also be settled in you. That's why I say, after you have suffered a while, the Lord will settle you. How did he put it in 1 Peter? You will be settled. No settled, established. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto what? His eternal glory by Christ. So after you have suffered a while, what will he do? It means you are not perfect. What will he do again? It means you have not been established. Again, strengthen you. It means you have not been strengthened as you should. And finally, it means you have not settled. So, when you look at this thing, it means that to a level, we may have them, but we have not got what we should get of them. Right? We have not got them. God of all grace, who has called us with after you have suffered a while. What is that suffering? We are going to suffer. Me, I know, go suffer. I know, go, but we can't sing that here. We can't sing that. We can't sing that in light. It's not a song of light. It's a song being taken in darkness. Me, I know, go suffer. I know, go beg for bread. You see, you know, when you don't understand something and that thing is brought to you, you relate it to the closest thing to you. What is manna? The one they ate. How does it look like? They said it's like wafers made with honey, like coriander. Is manna coriander seed? What were they doing? What is even the meaning of manna? What is this? So it's a mysterious food. That God, why don't they ask God? God, what? They actually said, what is this? But did they wait for God's answer? In fact, they started calling it, what is this? What we don't know. That thing we don't know. That's your sister whose name we should not call. And all of that. They now say, it looks like coriander seed. They know coriander seed. So they can easily relate. So that's what we do. When we see something that is beyond our comprehension, we quickly bring it down into a reality that we know. So when you say, after you have suffered a while, hey, what is suffering? Because you know suffering as not having food to eat, not having money. That's what we see generally as suffering. We even use it to compose songs. Me, I know, go suffer. Now, if God tells us the meaning of suffering, we will not relate it to, I no go beg for bread. Because I no go beg for bread, not having food to eat, is what we call suffering. That's not what God calls suffering. So what is suffering? Suffering is what you allow by God's demand. What you allow to be that touches you by under God, by God's command and by God's demand. That is suffering. So submission is suffering. Do you agree with me? It's suffering because you are taking a position you will not have actually taken if not for God's command and for God's demand. And now, when you do it, you don't do it grudgingly. You do it joyfully. You do it with love. You do it with knowledge. You do it with understanding. So when Paul said, I will pray in understanding, it's not just praying in English alone. Meaning, I will pray. My prayer, the content of my prayer will be content of understanding. Who was saying yesterday that some people will go to mountain and they'll be shaking? Ha, 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 ha. Like somebody was saying, people online now, they said they are praying. They are praying. They are praying. And they say we are doing 7-hour prayer. And what are they doing? They are just chanting. 7 hours. They are chanting. Ha, 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 ha. And time is going. And they say, we are there 7 hours. We are slain before the Lord. Eh? In fact, don't be doing those things that make you look like you are a champion of this soul matter. And I waited on God. By the time I opened the Bible, 3 hours, answer came. Some people are like that too. You have not got to that point. You open Bible 3 hours, answer came. So invariably, it is your opening Bible for 3 hours that brought the answer. Rather, open Bible to read and learn. It's better. So what you suffer is what God will have you allow. And I tell you, you will know. You will know. No, you will know. You will not be in doubt as to what God will have you. So if you agree with that righteous process, Jesus said, for so it become us to do what? To fulfill all. Can you give me other modern translation for that? To fulfill all righteousness. It means that what you are doing, for instance, these messages that came to us in Believers Convention, as you begin to engage them, one after the other, what are you doing to yourself? You are putting yourself into them to say, this is my life, right? Have you found it? Jesus insisted, do it. God's work, putting things right, all these centuries is coming together right now in this baptism. You see, when you suffer it to be so, you are giving room for heaven to rejoice. You are giving opportunity for heaven to say he's getting it right. So suffering is not when you don't have food to eat. Suffering is not when you don't have money in your pocket. That's not suffering. Suffering is when you allow God's righteous process to have its way. And as you allow that, what is happening to you? You are being saved. What's happening to you? As you allow that, you are what? Before, you will not ordinarily go and greet somebody if they don't greet you first. But now that you know that that is not okay, you now take steps to say, good morning, ma. Good morning, sir. What has happened to you? You have gained a milliliter of salvation. You have gained it. Then next again, you keep on. And as you do that, what happens to you? You are changing. And then it's not a change. Now, that is to say, are we not changing? But if they ask you personally, like somebody was saying earlier on, you will be looking at your faults. You will not see that you are changing. It's okay that way. So that you can always have need for God. You always, may we not be in that state where we never have need for God. Where we feel that, yes, is this not Babylon that I built with my hands? No, may we never get to that point. But you know the truth? You are changing. And others can see it. You may not readily see it. I got to Believers Convention. You know, when some people say some things about me, I don't mind. I believe that they are just trying to make me. And then Pastor Jefferson came and greeted me. I was looking at me. There's a way be looking at me. I'll be pressing my face as if I'm his baby and all of that. I was, what is he looking for? He now hugged me. He said, hey. He said, you are now looking good. He said, see, you are going fatter. I said, ah, don't say it. Then I got to Pastor Yola. I said, ah, my daddy, your tummy is coming out. He said, praise the Lord. I said, ha! As much as I don't want to agree what they are saying, they are seeing the obvious. I'm the one not seeing it. And I'm the one not agreeing with it. Jesus, when you are changing, it will be evident. Pastor, we know. Brethren, we know. And then when you are not changing, they will know. But they will not say it. They will not say it because of love. Because of charity. Of course, pastor can call you and point things to you. Of course, part of the job. But the truth is that don't put yourself in a place where you will be a pain to the heart of the pastor. With all what you have heard, with all these things, you know, I said, well, I called the person that gives an answer. I said, when you are giving an answer, they say, it's time for give our offering. Let's give our offerings. Your account has been projected. And after Sunday, and we say how much we spend on transportation for people and all of that, I said, come. When you are giving that announcement, you will say, let's give our offering. You will take time to say, it's good to give offering. Don't even talk of it. Say tithe. That everything God gives you, when you have, you should pay your tithe. It is good. You may be thinking, some people don't know. Especially when it is new people. You don't know you don't know whether they know their left from their right. You should say it. When you say it, who knows? They may not be doing it before. And they say, oh, hey. So we can pay tithe. Even our student. You know, some students have taken it for granted that we don't pay tithe because I'm a student. In the name of student, I don't pay tithe. Who says that? Of course, we're not saying use your school fees to pay tithe. But when you have free money, you should pay tithe. I called a lady one day, say, this. She showed her midriff. We were coming for exam, and she wore that jumper showing her belly, midriff. I called her, said, you know that this thing is not okay. See this fine, and you are very beautiful. I said, look at your trousers. You can just put this, let it go on down. I said, how much do you buy these trousers? He said, 25,000. Me, God, I've not bought trousers 25,000. I'm going to say, students have money. They have money, right? They have money. So if you're a student here, you're not paying your tithe, you should pay your tithe. Don't say, we are students. We are students. Pastor, anything for students? No. You are the one there that will bring that $1 billion that Reverend K talked about. How many people going to calculate the amount in Naira? Me, I went to calculate it too. That is 1.360 trillion Naira. 1,360,000,000,000 Naira. And Reverend said, the moment you said, it's not me. It's not me. What am I saying in essence? It cuts across every aspect of life. Finances, your relationship in the home with others, in church, with God. Changes must be happening. You must have boxes you are ticking. I don't greet very well, but today I greeted 5 people. You should clap for yourself. Go and enjoy it. Go and tell Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, I greeted 5 people. Holy Ghost will clap for you. But it will also come to a place where they will demand higher things from you. What are they taking? It's an exchange. They are taking a life and they are giving you life. What is that life? Salvation. A time will come, you will say, God is my salvation. We say it all, but we know we are not saying it. It's not really we are saying it in faith. And we must continue to say it, right? But the more you say it, the more you tell yourself, it will become the work of my faith. It will become the work of my faith. That my life will begin to get beautiful and beautiful by the day. Hallelujah. I will bless this afternoon. You know, that this message is terrible. You know, you have to sit down with that message. Line by line. You pause it. You say, Selah. You pause it. You pray. Like Pastor Robert said, you pause it. You pray. Are you going to do that? Because there is no special way to change. It is that faith cometh by and hearing by the. Faith does not come by musical. But you know, hearing can come, there can be hearing inside that music. But it's not by me, it's by the word. As you hear and you hear, what happens to you? When you see me next in Lagos Church, maybe I will be a cherub. I will have changed you. And I'm not going to wait for Pastor Dixon. Even though we are wearing the same color of dress, I'm not going to wait for him. Because I know that when you leave church, I don't know the things he goes to do in corner, how he cries to God every now and then. How he cries, I say, this man, we are just pursuing him. Maybe Pastor Fred has overtaken him. But I've been pursuing him. One day I sat and said, in all the pastors in my life, there's nobody's message that I have as much as Pastor Dixon's message. What's this man doing? That's what I would think. I was telling him, I said, you must place people before you. It's not joke, yo. I do that. I said, well, Pastor, I've been thinking this way. Pastor Fred may not look at this. Pastor, this is, no, don't mention it. He has gone. He's already sitting on the throne. I will be hearing his voice. I'll be saying, you see, before God a man, you see, you know the way he talks those things. You see this counsel that you can fetch. Let me fetch the counsel now. So you must have people you place before you. They don't need to know, but place them before you so that you use their life to challenge yourself to do well. Because like Reverend Ken used to say, if you are playing, not everybody is playing, no. Eh? He said, when you are messing up, some people are warming up. May we not mess up. I will bless this afternoon. Can we begin to appreciate our Father? Let's give him glory. Let's just pray and pray in the spirit and just pray a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of asking God for help, asking God for mercy. Let's just do that in the spirit. Don't be tired. You can stand up and stretch and pray. You know, pray with your heart. Pray with your heart. Feel what you are saying. Like Pastor Alvarez used to teach us, feel your prayer. Be conscious of what is coming out of your mouth. This is a serious matter. This is what we do every day, every day, every day until we get into the throne, until we sit on the throne.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.